Good evening. So I want to talk about bitachon. I'll define it in a moment. We're dealing with the mitzvah of Shemitah this week. And Shemitah is basically, you have a society that's agricultural, and in fact most of the world, the entire world, still relies heavily on agriculture. And if the weather conditions change, the temperatures, the prices change, and availability, the world is very, very delicately dependent upon food, and most of it comes from farms. Still to this very day, it's a very delicate situation. Farmers in Eretz Yisrael are told across the board not to rotate and not to change the types of crop, but to shut down totally for an entire year across the entire country. It's basically asking Klal Yisrael to walk to the edge of a cliff. And the next step is life and death. Because if you don't have any food anywhere in the country for a year, you're asking for a death sentence. There's no rotating, there's no sharing. The next step is one of certain death, unless we trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. To a certain extent, it's having a business and shutting down every seventh day, no matter what. But one day, finally, you know, in our mentality, we can actually deal with that. It doesn't seem like it's over and out, but a whole year of not planting is pretty serious. Nevertheless, Klal Yisrael is assured that if they have to be tough on to do this, it works. And in fact, we have many, many cases. We know through the years that's always worked. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, if you commit yourself to keep Shemitah, you'll even have a bumper crop ahead of time. And we hear stories even now about farmers in Eretz Yisrael, even in other times, that make that commitment. And in fact, they see such things happening. Now, bitachon means the following. I'll illustrate it with a story. I heard Rav Pesach Kron speak on the tape, and he said the following. His father, when he was 21 years old, was very, very sick. So one time he was in Ner Yisrael talking to Rav Ruderman, and he asked him, how's your family? He says, I have full bitachon. My father will be fine. He'll get better. I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that I have a full shlema. So Rav Ruderman became angry, whatever that means, on his level. He said, that's not what it means. Bitachon doesn't mean your father's going to get better if he's very sick. That's not bitachon. Bitachon means HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing and it'll be for the best. Bitachon means sometimes there'll be ups, sometimes it seems like there'll be downs also. But you trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we rely upon him. We depend upon him, for better or otherwise. It doesn't mean that your imagination, what's going to be for the best, that's going to happen. Because Hashem knows, and He'll make my life better roses. That's not what bitachon is. Bitachon means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's for the best, and He's doing it. Chovas HaLevavos has a section called Shar HaBitachon. At the beginning, he defines bitachon. Now, he elaborates upon this. I'm not going to elaborate it. But I'll give you the five levels of which he defines as bitachon. This is what we actually believe, we trust, and we're taught is the situation. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what is our best interest. He knows what's in our best interest. That's number one. If you have a friend and he says, hey, I have an interesting job for the summer, you say, well, you're my friend, obviously you probably got a good suggestion. It's not necessarily in your best interest. Maybe, maybe not. He doesn't know for sure. He thinks it's a good idea. He wants to give you a good suggestion. It may flop. He doesn't necessarily know what's in your best interest. Really, Hashem does. That's number one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can actualize it and can make it happen. He can actually make those things which are our best interest actually happen. That's number two. Number three, He only does what's in our best interest. That's an interesting one. If you see the curve of day by day, of things going in the right direction, they're always going up. Now, it seems like sometimes it seems like they're pretty dips in the road, and even we bump our toes sometimes, and things are not going so wonderful. Nope, it's always Gamzu L'Tova. Everything Hashem does, we know, is only for the best. That's also bitachon. Number four, he fulfills what he promises. That's number four. You promise something, you could bet on it. You could bank on it, it's there. And the fifth one, he provides favor and benefit even if we don't deserve it. Now, Chovas HaLevavos elaborates why these things are true, why they're unnecessary, and how they work out. That's fine. But for our purposes, again, it doesn't mean everything is always, always wonderful and peachy and tremendous in our eyes, but it is Gamzu L'Tova. There's a pasuk in Kohelet that tells us, Shomer mitzvah lo yedar davar ra. If you do a mitzvah, you won't have anything go wrong. Again, sometimes in the short term, it seems like, hey, that didn't work out. What happened here? I thought if I do a mitzvah. But ultimately, it's for the best. And even immediately, it's for the best. We don't always realize it and know how it works out. I have a story. If you do the right thing, you won't fall behind. Yosef Shlomo Kahneman. Maybe you heard that name before. If you didn't, you probably did anyway. You don't know it. He was the Panovisher Rav. He went to World War II and lost everything. Lost his family, lost everything. He got back up on his feet. He was going to rebuild Torah, rebuild his family. He did. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He built the Panovisher Shiva in Bnei Brak. One time he went to Frankfurt in Germany, and he was fundraising for his yeshiva. There was the head of the community there, Rav Yaakov Rosenheim, also a famous name. Look it up. Rav Yaakov Rosenheim. He asked the Panovisher Rav, your very honorable rabbi, you came to raise money. What? How much do you need? How much do you expect to raise in your stay here? So the Panovisher Rav was not sure. He thought about a few minutes. He said, this is how much I need. A nice sum. So Rav Yaakov thought about it. He said, stay here in my house. Your Rosh Hashiva, your Chazan, stay here. I will arrange meetings for you with Balabatim, and each time I have a meeting, I'll come and take you. You'll meet him, you get your check, you'll go back. Don't go house to house to house. Not necessary. I'll take care of it. I'll arrange meetings. That's what they did. And as the days went on, he had a couple of meetings a day, and it was going very well. There was one fellow they came across, and they said, we have to set up a meeting with him. He's very capable, and he's basically interested. But Rav Yaakov Rosenheim discovered that he wasn't available. His schedule was so tight that this fellow, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven was going to be leaving town the next morning and he wouldn't be able to see the Rav at all. But he found out, he talked to Reuven, he said, I can't fit him in, I can't do this, but I want to meet with him, what should we do? What time is the train? 8 o'clock. How about 7:45 at the train station? Reuven said, okay, I could do that. I could do that. This last few minutes, I could listen to him, I give him full attention. 15 minutes is all I need, fine. If he could be there 7:45. He came back and told the Panovisher Rav, I got you a meeting. We have to go to the train station. It's a little bit of a ride from here, but we'll get there. So he says, all right, but what about diving? He says, oh, there's an early minion. We'll dive in early. We'll get there plenty of time. Don't worry, got it made. Fine. Next morning, Panovisher Rav gets up and he looks at his clock. 7 o'clock. What's going on? 7 o'clock. What? Is this right? Checked it out. It was 7 o'clock. I never ever oversleep. What happened? I can't get the... It barely get time to get to the train station like this. I got to dive in with a minion, but my whole purpose of being here is to raise money. What should I do? He decided, after thinking of just for a moment, better dive with a minion. That's my first responsibility. Not going to play games. I have a chiyuv, I'm going to dive with a minion. We'll see what happens afterwards. Went to a minion, got there, diving. They finished about 7:45, 8:45. He said, let's get over to the train station. Maybe the train's late. Well, let's go. They quickly rush. They got there a couple minutes after 8. Train had left. No one's around. A few stragglers are waiting for the next train already. He lost the appointment. He had his chance and it fell through his fingers. And this was going to be significant. They had rushed so much. They were a little tired. They said, let's just sit down for a few minutes and we'll go back to the city. We'll do what we have to do. Sat down on a bench there to relax. 8:20, they suddenly see some commotion. Reuven is quickly coming on some car or some coach. And Reuven, he was on the train at 8 o'clock. What happened? He's arriving at the station. So, and the Rav Kahneman's sitting there on the bench. So Reuben ran over to him and said, Rabbi, you probably got here so early. You've been waiting for me since, who knows, 7:30 to 7:45. I put you, so I feel so bad for coming to Torah. So the punishment says, no, wait a second. No, really, I feel so terrible. It was the greatest trouble to get up early, and I told you I would be here. I also had some uncontrollable delay. I couldn't help it. My mom felt so terrible. And here you are waiting and waiting. I feel so bad for you. I have to give you even a bigger check. So the Panavishra said, no, you have to understand. I also had an unforeseen situation. And they worked it out, and he gave him a nice check, and they went on. Rav Kahneman, when he told the story over, he said, I had a decision to make at the 7 o'clock hour. If I had decided to run to the train station and miss Minyan, or daven later by myself, whatever, and I would have gotten here at 7:30, and I would have gotten here 20 to 8, I would have looked around, and I wouldn't have seen him. I wouldn't have seen him at 10 to 8. I wouldn't have seen him at 8 o'clock. Where did he go? What happened? I would have been so flustered. We just left and we missed it. What happened? We must have missed. There would have been we wouldn't have made it at all. But because I decided to be Moshe Nefesh for Tefillah B'Tzibur, that's the only way in which it worked out. When you do it for the boss, there is no loss. Yeah. He worked L'Shem Shemayim with his minion, and the money for the tzedakah and for Kavanah Torah was there, for Limud Torah. I thought a couple other stories I want to share with you just quickly in the few minutes that are remaining. You may have heard about this, but I have the details here. There's a fellow named Andy who got a ticket on Dan's deals. I don't have to explain these things, you know better than me. His ticket was to go, believe it or not, on that Malaysian flight that took off from Kuala going to Beijing. He was supposed to travel on Shabbos, on Friday. Supposed to travel on Friday. He called up his travel agent. He said, I need an extra day in Malaysia. I need to move it to the Friday night flight. The travel agent was a Jewish person, and they knew that Andy was Jewish. The lady said, I will not book a flight for you on Friday night over Shabbos. You're Jewish, I will not do it. He says, I'm not observant. What difference does it make? She said, good, do it yourself. Your flight is on Friday. You could change it yourself. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. It's up to you. So Andy was not observant. He needed an extra day in Kuala. He was lazy. And he didn't want to get online. He said, forget the day. In Kuala, he took the Friday flight. And because the travel agent said, I don't want you traveling on Shabbos. And he said, you know, I'm lazy. But Shabbos, okay, so I won't go on Shabbos. I won't go on Saturday. He did not get on the flight, and that's the flight that disappeared. And he had gone a day earlier. Even though he had asked and he had planned, he requested, and he was one step away from being on that flight because of Shabbos and his willingness to go along with it. He was protected in a Shemayim. Once again, you do it for the boss, there is no loss. Two more quick stories. I have more, but we ran out, running out of time. In 1911, I don't remember this one, but it's written here. First of all, I wasn't old then. And if I was that old, I probably wouldn't remember it either. Rose Goldstein. She came to America to join her relatives, and she got a job on a sewing machine working in some factory. She did everything to avoid working at Shabbos, but one time she got pressure. They noticed what was happening. They said, if you don't come at Shabbos, you don't have a job. Her family pushed her out the door. You must go to work. And they forced her to go. She got to the door of the factory. She looked around. She said, I can't go in. She walked around the block. And once again, Shabbos, I can't go in. And it was getting a little bit later. She said, I'll go on a longer walk. She walked around two blocks. And by the time she came back, the building was up in flames. There was a fire in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory on that day, and 146 of her fellow immigrant workers had been killed. Because of her reluctance and her willingness to be Moshe Nefesh for Shabbos, because she did it for the boss, There was no loss. And finally, with one more minute, Sam was a professional cyclist who moved to Eretz Yisrael. Professional cyclist. He became a Baal Teshuva. After a lot of practice, he was in consideration to be in the Olympics on the Israeli cycling team, which was going to compete in Germany in 1972, in Munich, Germany. Sam wasn't Sam anymore, he was Shimon at this time. One of the final practices in order to participate was going to be taking place on a Saturday. The designated day for cycling practice was on a Saturday. Shimon, obviously, said, if it means missing the team, I'm not going to miss Shabbos. He didn't qualify because he didn't go, and he wasn't part of the Israeli team. Because he wasn't on the team, he wasn't in Germany. And that was the terrible, terrible tragedy, the Black September group. They burst into Israeli sleeping quarters and murdered 11 Jewish athletes. We've seen Mesiras Nefesh for davening. We've seen Mesiras Nefesh for Shabbos. There's no guarantees. These are success stories. Everything's wonderful. You do a mitzvah and Hashem just paves the way to success and wonderful and riches. It's not always like that. We know, however, what is always true is that Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yadar Davira, that every time we do a mitzvah, the protection and the defense is there. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we could trust in Him, and everything is Gamzu L'Tova.
Whatever
the
morning.
Loss, there is no loss. Scott.
You're wonderful, thank you.
Yeah.